Chapter 1, it's on in the Church Bibles on page 1064. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, starting in verse 35. The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning round, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. It was about 4 in the afternoon. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah," that is, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Kephas," which means translated Peter, when translated is Peter. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth? Can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, "Here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you." Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus said, "You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You will see greater things than that." He then added, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man."
So with that in mind, let's turn to look at the passage that we had read to us a little earlier. And let's consider what the Lord wants to say to us through his word. So that was it's John chapter 1, verses 35 to 51, on page 1064. And let me read it for us again. "The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, 'Look, the Lamb of God.' When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning round, Jesus saw them following and asked, 'What do you want?' They said, 'Rabbi,' which means teacher, 'where are you staying?' 'Come,' he replied, 'and you will see.' So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. It was about 4 in the afternoon. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, 'We have found the Messiah, that is the Christ.' And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, 'You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas,' which when translated is Peter. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, 'Follow me.' Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, 'We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph.' 'Nazareth? Can anything good come from there?' Nathanael asked. 'Come and see,' said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, 'Here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit.' 'How do you know me?' Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, 'I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you.' Then Nathanael declared, 'Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel.' Jesus said, 'You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You will see greater things than that.' He then added, 'Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man.' Now, as Jesus meets his first disciples, we see that the invitation to come and see Jesus means three things. The first thing is that the invitation to come and see is an invitation to come and think. The invitation to come and see is an invitation to come and think. It's an opportunity for our friends to come and examine and consider the evidence for themselves. And it's not unlike what we see with John's two disciples, who leave his side in verse 37 in order that they might follow Jesus from a distance and check out the claim he has just made that Jesus is the Lamb of God. They're pondering, they're wondering if what they've been told is really true. They're trying to weigh up the evidence by going to the one at the centre of the claim. Now, it doesn't take long for Jesus to notice that they're following. So what does he do? He invites them to spend the evening with him because it was late in the day. He invites them to come and spend time with him, to watch him, to interrogate him. It's an invitation to observe the way that he acts, what he says, what he does, why. He wants them to see and believe. Now, Nathanael is another man with questions. Verse 46 is perhaps the cheekiest response in the whole of the New Testament. But it's also a roundabout way of asking if this man can really be the one the Old Testament speaks of, the promised Messiah. If he's from Nazareth, then he's not from the city of David. Nathanael's smart. He knows the messianic prophecies. So what does Philip do? He just says, come and see. Come and meet the man for yourself and have your questions answered by the evidence. What this all means is that when we invite our friends to come and see, we are not making an outrageous request for them to leave their brains behind or to abandon all logic and reason and questioning. They need to know that because that's what they'll be expecting. But faith in Christ isn't blind faith. No, come and see is an invitation to our friends to bring every remarkable faculty of discernment we have been given to bear in order to answer whether or not the claims made about this man are true or false. But the obvious question then is, well, how do we do this today? See, unlike Philip, we can't just say, come and see. Unlike John's disciples, we can't just spend an evening with him. Which leads us to consider John's purpose in writing his gospel account. And helpfully he explains it for us in John chapter 20, verses 30 to 31. And he says, Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. You see, this is eyewitness testimony. It's written by someone who was really there and saw it all unfolding before him. It's not legend, it's not myth, it's not embellished. See, through this testimony, John brings us to see the very same evidence the disciples saw. As John himself later goes on to write in his first letter, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. See, an invitation to look at John's gospel is an invitation to come and spend time with Jesus. It is an invitation to come to look at a primary source, written by someone who is really there. It's an invitation not to rely, first and foremost, on secondary sources or consequential evidence, or even on hearsay. The invitation to come and see is the invitation to come and think, to examine the evidence for yourself. And so, secondly, the invitation to come and see is an invitation to come and process with your friends. It's an invitation to come and process with your friends. I think it's really noticeable that Philip doesn't say, go and see. He says, come and see. It's not off you go, but it's let's go together. As Tim Keller once said, you are unlikely to be found by Jesus unless you are found by a friend who knows Jesus. You see, we see it throughout the passage we're looking at. Four different encounters with Jesus, each one the result of the witness of another person. In verses 41 to 42, we see Andrew bring his brother, Simon Peter, to Jesus. And in verse 45, we see Philip bring Nathanael to Jesus. The call to come and see is not just a call to do the work on your own. No, it's an invitation to think through the evidence together, helping one another to understand as we talk about what we've read and the questions it asks of us. Christianity is not about finding your own way or doing your own thing. And in fact, to consider the evidence in community offers our friends a foretaste of what is to come. See, the gospel ultimately offers fellowship with the triune God and all of his people. To come to Christ in faith is to be united to him and joined to all other believers in him. It is to be welcomed into the kingdom of God on this earth and a community where Christ is Lord and where its members are to help one another to grow up into Christ, loving one another selflessly along the way. It is like nothing else our friends will know or experience elsewhere. And we shouldn't forget that. Now, it is true that processing the evidence with our friends does make us rather vulnerable. It makes us vulnerable to not knowing how to answer the questions our friends ask along the way. But I think that's okay. So here are three reasons why that's okay. Firstly, it reminds us that our identity is not in our knowledge or in what others think of us, but in who we are in Christ. See, with genuine humility, we can be honest about our own desire and need to learn and to ask questions and find answers. Secondly, it encourages us to get down on our knees and pray to our Heavenly Father for help. And thirdly, it motivates us to read more of God's word and the many books that have been written to help us grow in the knowledge and understanding of our faith. And then to talk about things that count with one another. See, we could talk about what we watched on TV last night. But we could also talk about how we can answer the questions that our friends really have. Now, it's also true that we shouldn't expect our friends to be a pushover. They aren't necessarily going to be delighted the first time we ask them to come and see Jesus. And maybe we can take heart from what we see in our passage. See, John the Baptist had to be patient. It took a whole 24 hours for people to actually listen to the remarkable words that he was saying, to take note and to actually follow Jesus. You see, he starts back in verse 29, but it's only in verse 35, a whole day later, that there is action. And then look at Philip. Well, Philip had to be courageous in the face of Nathanael's initial outrageous pushback. And that's in verse 46. Philip is mocked by Nathanael. And he might not even know how to answer Nathanael in a situation like that. So he just says, come and see for yourself. Don't take my word for it. Come and look. You see, John and Philip demonstrate great love for their neighbours. They are not deterred by silence or by mockery, as we can so often be. See, they know that Jesus is too good to miss. And they must persist for the sake of love. And we must be persistent in another way too. See, we must be persistent in prayer. We must petition God on behalf of our friends that we would be useful servants to him by what we say and what we do, and that the word of God would soften the hearts of our friends by the work of his Spirit. The invitation to come and see is the invitation to come and process with your friends. Thirdly, then, and finally, the invitation to come and see is an invitation to come and wonder. It's an invitation to come and wonder. See, twice in this passage, Jesus shows himself to be something special. Firstly, with Peter in verse 42, and then with Nathanael in verse 48. Jesus knew Peter and Nathanael, even though he had never met them before. His description of Nathanael was actually so accurate, it was so on the money, that it helped Nathanael to make his mind up about Jesus there and then. So the one we invite people to come and see is the one who knows the people he is speaking to better than they know themselves. To be known by God is to be fully and perfectly known. But Jesus doesn't stop there. Jesus is quick, isn't he, to promise that Nathanael will see more, much more. By what he says in verse 51, Jesus just lifts Nathanael's eyes. As he lifts our eyes today as we read, to behold who he truly is and what he came to earth to do. So he does this by referring to a dream that Jacob had all the way back in Genesis 28. In the dream, Jacob saw a ladder set up between heaven and earth, with the angels of God ascending and descending on it, and the Lord stood above it. It was a dream that gave Jacob great hope. It was a hope that one day the vast distance between heaven and earth, between the dwelling place of God and the dwelling place of man, between the world as it is and the world as it should be, would indeed be overcome. The hope that one day sin would be crushed once and for all, and his people would again know the intimacy and presence of God. And when he awoke the next day, Jacob called the place, the house of God, the gate of heaven. And by referring back to this dream, Jesus announces to Nathanael that he is the gate of heaven. He is the ladder between the heavenly and the earthly realm. There is no other way. Only the Son of Man can bridge the divide and all those whom he carries. See, all Nathanael needed to do to see the greater things Jesus spoke of was to watch all that unfolded in the coming years. And all we need to do today is read what John records for us in the pages of his gospel. You see, the invitation to come and see Jesus in the pages of Scripture is an invitation to come and wonder at the one who John describes in verse 1 as the Word, who was in the beginning, the Word who was with God, and the Word who was God. It's the one who made all things, the one who has life in himself. And he's the one who became flesh and made his dwelling among us. You see, the call to come and see is a call to come and wonder at the life, death, and resurrection of the one John the Baptist called the Lamb of God. The one whose perfect obedience we need as our own. The one whose blood we need to cover our sin. And the one whose resurrection we need to be made alive. The remarkable promise to those who believe Jesus to be the Son of God is that they will surely and certainly have eternal life in his name. They too will be carried by the Son of Man into the heavenly places, and they will have fellowship with the triune God himself. Now, this is what students all over the country have been holding out to their friends for the last 3 years. They've been inviting their friends to come and see Jesus, to come and examine the evidence for themselves, to come and think, to come and process, to come and wonder. But it also gives you a glimpse into what students in Christian unions will be doing this year. You see, the start of every academic year is a new opportunity for a CU to make Christ and his gospel known, with thousands of new students to reach, and even the chance to try again with existing friends. But at Forum this week, we'll be launching a new version of Uncover, the Uncover John Seeker Bible Study. A new opportunity for students to invite their friends to come and see Jesus in John's gospel in the hope that more people might believe that he really is the Messiah, the Son of God, and have life in his name. And we'd love you to be a part of this too. Now, I think there are four really good ways that you can be involved. Firstly, why not join in by using Uncover Luke to invite your friends to come and see Jesus? I have a few to give away. You can take them. But it's also available to buy from IVP. So why not do that? And that way, we can all, including the students, encourage one another in the same task. And that would be immensely encouraging for them, I know that. The second thing you can do is to specifically ask the students, when they come back, how they're getting on with inviting their friends to look at Uncover John, and how you can be praying for them. Thirdly, maybe you might consider giving financially to support the work of UCCF. We are a charity, and we are always in need of new supporters to fund training and initiatives like Uncover. Even a small amount given each month makes a huge difference. And you can give online, but if you're anything like me, that means you might forget. So I have some giving forms that you can fill out this evening if you would like to, and then you can leave it with me and I'll sort it all out. If you have a personal connection with a CU, you can give money specifically to that Christian union or to that patch where the staff worker works, so that it goes towards an area of the country that you are close to. Or you could give to support the patch here in Nottingham. That would be really valuable. And finally, please pray. Pray for the students as they take up the challenge of using Uncover John. And please pray for Katie, Naomi and me as we work out how best to support them in doing that. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are in awe of all that you are as our God. We are in awe of the fact that your Son is the one who was with you in the beginning, who is God, and who made all things. And yet he's the very same God and the very same person that we know as the Lord Jesus Christ. We know him as Saviour and Lord. And Father, it is our desire that more people might come to know him. And we ask that you would use us. Use us, Lord, to represent him in the world. To speak well of him to all of our friends. To be brave, to invite them to look at words we know are the words of life. And we ask that you might continue to call all those that you know by name, to know you through your word, that they might truly have eternal life in his name. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Oh, we're going to sing again. So when the music starts, why don't we stand and we'll sing, Tell Out My Soul.